Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 3, we were taught the qualifications given in the Bible for pastors and deacons. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
God led me out. I didn't understand, but I certainly wasn't looking to leave. I wanted to stay where I was. Now, I've been here for going on 27 years, 28 years. And I've loved it all the way. And I've had trials, I've had troubles, I've had tribulations. But I'm in where God wants me to be. And so, boy, I'm just happy with that. I'm never looking to leave. The only way I'm leaving is if God calls me. And when he calls, then I've already promised him I'll go. But only if he calls. Now, that takes us to the rest of the passage. After the desire of verse 1, we next see the description of the pastor's person and job. And that's in verses 2 through 7. Now, let me give a reading of these verses before we actually get into breaking them down. Verse 2 of 1 Timothy 3, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the house of God or the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. We have 17 things, and so what I'm going to do is give you an overview rather than a detailed account of each requirement, but I think it'll be enough for you to understand and maybe even expand your own personal study. Now, first of all, a bishop must be blameless. The idea is he cannot have something which would bring him before the public courts to bring reproach on the name of Christ. Tax evasion, bad checks, driving under the influence of alcohol, and things of that nature. He must be blameless, not one that has a reputation of lying to you. He is to be the husband of one wife. Now, this passage is at the center of controversy of several church battles in which people do not want to accept God's verdict. Now, I want you to hear this and pay close attention. You may need to go to our website and re-listen to it. Write it down, pencil and paper. The word husband is from a Greek word meaning adult male. He is the male or mate of one woman. Now, there are popular women who preach in churches with men and women present, or they pastor a church. But they are not the male mate of a woman, okay? So we must ask a question of a prospective pastor. Your church looks for one, then you ask the question, are you the husband of one wife? Now, the Greek word for wife is Goon. Now, that's G-U-N-E, not G-O-O-N, okay? And it is often translated woman. And the idea is husband of one woman. And he is, therefore, a one-woman man only. Let me repeat that. The idea here is that he is a one-woman man only. Now, keep it in mind, the character of the bishop is being discussed here. The Greek lacks articles before the two nouns. Before you go to sleep, that simply means this. The Greek is emphasizing the character, meaning that the preacher loves only one woman as his wife. Now, many of the top Greek scholars think it even extends to the point that if the wife dies, he does not remarry if he is to continue as the pastor of the church. Now, you'll notice this is addressing pastor. We understand by Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the office of pastor is different than the office of evangelist, or for that matter, than apostle. And so it's not the evangelist, it's not the apostle, it's the pastor's office of which it is speaking. Now, this is not taught as absolute certainty to not marry after a wife dies, if he continues to pastor. But it emphasizes for sure only one woman is alive to whom he has been married. Now, the idea is very overwhelmingly evident that he is not to be a divorced man. Now, can a divorced man teach a Sunday school class? I believe so. And again, these rules are applying to the pastor of the church. They are Bible rules, not church-made, not man-made. They are Bible rules. Next, we see that the pastor is to be vigilant. Vigilant. The idea is one who stays focused, not given to change. I've seen the guys that have a great idea, and man, they go all out after for 2 months, and then suddenly it wanes off and almost nosedives, and they're looking for something else to come up with. That's not a person that stays focused. Now, a person that is vigilant keeps and guards the holiness and righteousness of God in the church, regardless of the cost. In other words, he's instant in season and out of season. He must always watch against Satan, who is a very subtle enemy. The world will always try to enter the church. In Jude 4, we read this, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So watch against those who would remove standards or give license to the flesh, saying, "Oh, look, we're living in an age of liberty and grace. You can wear those immodest clothes now. You can sing that kind of music now." Jude 4, as it's talking about the local church, calls this turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness has the idea of no restraints, anything goes. And so they apply grace and liberty to the flesh instead of the spirit. And so the pastor is charged to protect against that coming into the church. They do creep in unawares because they're creeps, as one man said. But they creep in unawares. In other words, they come in as they're one of you, and they start working on individuals, talking to them individually, and trying to convert them to their way. The word sober is the next word given here in verse 2, and it means to be of a sound mind. He is one who limits his own freedom and ability with proper discipline, thinking, and self-control. He's not taken in by slick-talking people, as we're warned in 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15, where we find out that Satan is an angel of light, and his devils, his ministers, are his angels of light. And so they go around, they sound good, they sound all right, but under the microscope of the Scriptures, they're revealed to be darkness, evil, wrong, although they parade as angels of light. Next we see that the pastor is to be of good behavior. This speaks of being decent and orderly. He fulfills his duties as a citizen and is quiet in the land. He's not disorderly. He's a respectful person. It also speaks of good behavior in appearance. His dress should become a holy, not worldly person. And again, his dress should be becoming of a holy, not a worldly person. He must have a due respect for the office he represents and dress accordingly. Nearly every day, I wear ties. About the only day that I don't wear ties, usually on Saturdays, but if there's a wedding or there's something else going on involving the church, I have a tie on. It's midsummer in hot Florida, high 100% humidities, and high 90s, and even into the 100-degree temperatures. I have a coat and tie on. Not because I'm trying to make anything of myself, but it's for the office that I represent. And I've gone into hospital, and I've seen pastors in there in shorts. I've seen them there in pullover, I guess you'd call them dressed-up T-shirts. But to me, it just said they didn't respect the office or the people who wanted their pastor to visit them. Nothing wrong with blue jeans and a T-shirt. There's nothing wrong with a football uniform. You know, have you ever thought about that? There's nothing wrong with a football uniform. But do you really want your pastor walking into the platform to preach to you with a football uniform with shoulder pads and everything else in it? I don't think so. You see, it's disrespectful of the platform of the house that is God's house, the Word of God, and of you. So he should dress in a way that shows good behavior. Next, he is given to hospitality. Now, that doesn't speak of coming over for supper, having parties, and things of that nature.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.